With principals and teachers under intense pressure to ensure that all grade school students can read, many schools continue to experiment with different approaches. In some schools, the pace and scope of learning is partly determined by students, what some call a bottom-up approach. Elsewhere, the curriculum is more scripted, carefully handed down from the teacher to the class. In part two of Morning Edition's series on literacy, NPR's Robert Smith reports on how two very different programs have taught children to read.
In a first grade classroom in Indianapolis, kids are sprawled out on the carpeted floor with books before class even starts. When their teacher, Paula Fisher, appears at the door, she's mobbed.
Miss Fisher, I read all the way to 14.
Good, Nathan.
What are you reading about?
What do you see in the cloud?
The Center for Inquiry is a new public school in a very old building in downtown Indianapolis. Its mission is not just to teach reading, but to get kids excited about it. Gone are textbooks, worksheets, and drills. In their place, in fact, all around the room are stacks and stacks of children's books with titles like The Jiggery and Dan the Flying Man. The children here are allowed to browse through the thousands of titles to find out what they want to learn about. Today, it's the weather.
In many places, each season has a different kind of weather.
This word. What's that word?
Season.
How did you know that was season?
Over here.
Jamis?
Because he got a C and a S-O-N.
A lesson on weather becomes a lesson in phonics. It's all tied together here. The Center for Inquiry tackles a dilemma that most schools face. If you spend all your time teaching kids to decode words, when do you teach them to understand what they read, to apply it to their own lives? At the center, they let children follow their interests, a freedom unheard of in most classrooms.
The theory here is that immersing children in good literature will enable them to become literate.
Chris Leland is an education professor at Indiana University, Purdue University at Indianapolis.
They'll read and write because they are reading all the time and writing all the time, not because somebody is sitting down and saying, here's how you do it.
The students at the Center for Inquiry are mostly from low-income families and generally don't get a lot of reading done at home. The school makes up for it by sending books home with the kids and keeping the reading load very high.
Oh, I'd say about over a million books a week.
Maybe you're exaggerating a little bit?
Well, yeah, but at least 50.
Ashley Teague transferred here from a more traditional school.
It used to be boring. I have to listen to the teacher pick out your spelling words and pick the books that you want, that you gotta read.
But don't be fooled. Although the kids here don't have to sit in neat rows, Mrs. Fisher says this isn't one of those schools without rules that popped up in the 1970s.
Anytime you think something's unstructured, there's a lot of structure behind it.
And it takes a very skilled teacher to pull it off. Fisher has to put in individual time with each child every day, paying attention to what words they know and what strategies they use.
Our kids are reading and they're writing and they're thinking, they're asking questions, they're making progress, and plus they score well on the test too. Knock on wood, we're getting ready for the test.
They don't need to worry. Most of the children here are reading at grade level, and on the state reading test, the Center for Inquiry is the highest scoring elementary school in the Indianapolis district. But they're going to have a harder time exporting their success. Education professor Chris Leland notes that the center succeeded by attracting teachers from around the district who already shared the same teaching methods.
It's not a quick fix. You can't put this in a box and say, here you go.
But for many school districts, under pressure to improve reading scores, a ready-made solution is exactly what they're looking for. In California, some schools think they've found it.
Here we go. Are you ready? Eyes up here. Sound. Sound.
Sacramento, California. Christina Halverson is teaching her first grade students how to blend sounds into words.
Sound. Sound. Ih. Ih. Blend. Shin. The word is shin.
Like lotion.
Oh, almost. Shin is on our leg.
Elder Creek Elementary School looks a little like the one in Indiana. The aging building is in an old industrial neighborhood. The kids are mostly minority and poor, and their reading scores are outstanding. But the teaching style couldn't be more different. Whereas the Center for Inquiry let the children guide the learning process, Elder Creek's lessons are tightly structured and coordinated from the top down. Sharon Von Fleck works for the Sacramento School District and keeps all of the elementary school classes literally reading from the same page.
We don't leave it to chance whether you get teacher X or teacher Y or teacher Z, whether you get that piece that's going to help you become a successful reader. We want that to happen for all of our children.
The school district bought a package system called Open Court from an educational publisher. The teachers now read from an Open Court manual while pointing at Open Court word cards. Those same words then show up in Open Court literature readings. The lessons fit together perfectly. While the inquiry model used in Indianapolis stresses discussing and understanding books, Open Court begins with words.
First of all, we teach them how to read, how to break the code and bring those words to conscious level. Then we've got to teach them how to bring meaning to the text. So it's really two separate things that are interrelated.
She bore the cake batter into a shiny pan.
Today, they're all reading The Little Red Hen. The thick manual guides the teacher through each line, even warning her of words that the kids will probably stumble over and how to respond. Open Court has been mocked as teacher-proof and even called open cult. But teacher Christina Halverson says she's grown to love it.
It seemed maybe a little restrictive at first, but that's because it was a new program. But now that I've been teaching it for a number of years, I can find ways to bring in the art and the science and music because I know the program.
With the lessons taken care of, there's more time and energy for improvisation. As part of reading Little Red Hen, Halverson brought her kids to the cafeteria and taught them how to make bread. For the kids, all the structure and reading rules become a sort of game, a puzzle to figure out. Darrell Williams uses his fingers to help decode the words.
It helps you sometimes, so some letters will be separated, which is you put your fingers right here, and then that's how you blend it, like where, like that.
In the last 4 years, Open Court has helped Elder Creek Elementary go from a low-performing school to scoring in the top 20% in the state of California. Based in part on the success in Sacramento, hundreds of schools in the Los Angeles Unified School District have just started using the Open Court system. But replicating successful schools is always a risky prospect. Open Court, like any system, can be done well or poorly. And there's schools in Sacramento that are still struggling with the program. Plus, you have to wonder, if two radically different approaches in Indianapolis and Sacramento can both work, who's to say that the secret doesn't lie somewhere outside the curriculum? Beth Young at the Center for Inquiry says she's seen good teachers teach both ways and have the same result.
I think it has to be a belief within yourself about how kids learn best, because if you don't believe in it, it's not going to work in your classroom.
That kind of commitment and dedication from teachers may be just as important as whichever program they use. Robert Smith, NPR News, Sacramento.